Hello, and welcome to another episode of Nerdacious Behavior, the podcast where two audacious nerds usually talk about their pursuit of wellness and dating. But as the case may be, this evening we do have two audacious nerds, but they are not me, Eva, and Santana, as it usually is. Instead, it's me, Eva, and my new friend, Paula Stornetta. Paula is super funny, interesting lady with a background in criminal justice, who has an odd affinity for Disneyland and somehow missed the glory of Paris. We spend a lot of this episode talking about her experience with serial killer Ed Kemper, who she got to know personally while she was studying criminal justice. And we also, mostly, I also argue a lot about the use of gender pronouns and compelled speech. Don't worry, I don't spend the entire episode talking like this. I'm just a little inspired because I got done watching that new show on Amazon, Canary Row. So anyway, enjoy this episode if you do choose to stick around and listen to it. Personally, I have to recommend that you don't, because I say all sorts of horrible, audacious things in this episode. So if you're listening with your grandmother or some sort of child nearby, you should just stop immediately. Not because Paula's not absolutely lovely, she really definitely is, but because I think I'm lovely too, but I'm more of an acquired taste. Anyway, I hope you enjoy this episode or whatever it is you do decide to do with your day.
Fuck. Well, I'm definitely going to write a review of Anchor.
That's not a positive one, by the way, Anchor.
No, that's...
You're, like, crazy quiet. Let me see if I can plug in a headset. So Okay. Go ahead. Tell everyone why you hate Anchor.
Let's keep on going with that. Now I've completely lost you.
Oh, son of a bitch.
No, you're back. Okay. Oh. You came back for the verbal sparring. So I do have Dacre Montgomery paused on my TV, just so you know.
Oh my god, isn't he the hottest hot purpose that ever hotted? I fucking love him, and he's 24. It makes me feel like such a bad person. I hate it.
It should. You could, like, be your child. Wait, that's...
Ew.
Yeah.
I would have procreated out, right? At a super gross age if that were the case. Although I think the youngest parents I ever read about were, like, 8 and 9.
Yeah. No, it can get... I mean, we've gotten, like, way older as we've obviously progressed. Ooh, I can hear myself. That's fun.
Okay. And then... I can't charge my phone because iPhone decided to get stupid on us. So how much time we have. Welcome. Thank you for joining us today, or me. The proverbial us, the royal we. Ladies and gentlemen, Ms. Paula Stornetta? Ms., you like Ms.? I don't know. Everyone's so touchy now. You might want to be called they, Paula Stornetto.
Yeah.
How do people get around that one? The they, them people. What do they do for Ms., Mr., and Mrs.? And Ms.?
I think they do Z and Zer. Z E and Z I R.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
I'm going to be real honest, though. I literally just pulled that one out of my ass.
I've heard Z and Zer before, but I heard it, like, in place of him and her.
I mean, you could be right. One of my best friends is a they, and
they sound annoying.
Stop. They're fantastic, and you love them.
Yeah, but they would hate me, so it would make up for it.
I mean... That would be kind of normal to the people they associate themselves with, so It's fine. Seems totally fine. But they used to give me, like, a word of the week, because they were very annoyed that I was addressing people wrong and wasn't aware of terms that I should be, apparently, within my subculture.
See, that's what's annoying about them. They're like, everybody pay attention to me and learn all about the thing that's happening to me. And it's like, well... that, but this guy's got baby cancer. Like, I just
this guy's got baby cancer.
like other people are going through equally heavy shit and they're not putting it on everybody else.
Oh, I feel like we're all putting everything on everyone else all the
time. Who was the last person that came to you with baby cancer?
Oh, see,
those people are handling it their fucking selves. I'm telling you.
No, they're not. This isn't a fun topic at all.
Sorry.
Yeah.
So Paula slid into my DMs on Hinge.
I
think so. I slid into yours. There was some sliding.
There was some sliding.
There was sliding. There's DMing, whatever. And I'm not going to lie, I've had a lot of people ask to be on the podcast, and I just ignore that. And then I asked you because I think you're really interesting and fun to talk to.
Well, thank you.
That's
cool. You were actually really fucking funny. So,
oh my god, that was my only question I had to ask you, is if you thought I was funny.
Oh my god, goodbye. It's been great getting to know you. I'm glad I've been able to make the appearance, and best of luck.
No, I'm serious about this because I feel like in the podcast, I feel like Santana doesn't bring the funny out of me. So I feel like in the podcast, really? I'm super not funny, but I'm like, maybe other people perceive that differently. So I am interested in that.
Yeah, I don't think you always know when you're funny, and I'm not now I'm feeling bad. I'm like, I want to say I'm laughing with you, but I
I'm very dry, so I'm want you to laugh when it's like horrible. Am I getting that? That's my goal most of the time.
Horrible when baby cancer comes out. Okay.
Yeah. Is it working? I don't know.
So working. Sold.
Great. Well, do you have any questions for Santana? I will answer. Or me, I guess. But
no, you know what? It's really, I actually had a question, and then I should have written down a list before you told me to write a list.
I told you.
Maybe you told me like 15 minutes ago when I had an ant invasion, not like a fun ant, but yeah, I'd actually had a question for her now. Oh, she got like the most, I'm fairly kinky, but she works in a sex shop and she got like the most insane whip thing.
Right. I saw that on her Instagram.
Holy God.
Mm-hmm.
But at the same time, I was like, oh, but I wonder if that's like that, those little aluminum shards. Like it was crazy. It was almost like a mace. Not with a heavy ball. Yeah, no.
So you're wondering how heavy it was?
No, I'm wondering if it was a special order, if that's just something they stock in like Central California, because I can't say I've ever seen anything like that in my neck of the woods.
That's fair and true. I haven't either. That's a good question. I'm gonna go with that they have that one and they're testing it out. And that's my answer on behalf of Santana. I will try to get the actual answer. I could text her right now if you want.
I think that defeats the purpose. And then Anchor probably won't work again. So let's not do that.
Okay. Okay. Then that's my answer. They just got it in.
They're testing it out.
The boss is like, I think this is going to be a hot thing. And Santana's like, that's too much. And that's...
She's like, people keep asking to test it out. I'm sick of cleaning it. This isn't part of my other duties as assigned.
Appreciate this. Right. Oh, God. I could never have Santana's job.
I don't imagine you could.
If it was like an all-lady place and like no guys allowed for some reason, then I would love it.
Oh, gosh. I feel like you've not dated enough women to know how disgusting they can be.
Oh no, like they're super disgusting, but I come off as very, very straight. So usually they leave me alone, with one gross exception who was like worse than any man I've ever met in my entire life, and like way too in my physical space. It was at a pride event, and a bunch of my gay guy friends almost fought this lady. They had to like physically put themselves between me and her because she was just like on my shit. It was weird.
Yeah, not okay. Not okay at all. And she's old, right?
She wasn't old. She was like a
she's old like my age.
Short, angry lady.
Oh god. Oh god, so hot. Yeah. Disgusting. Yeah, no. I fucking hate that shit. And I have the I kind of have an issue with dating too because I come off as very straight, surprisingly. I never thought that about myself.
Yeah, why is that surprising to you? I think most people think default, unless you have like a rainbow shirt on, identifying a bunch of piercings in your face and shit I don't understand. I don't know.
You like haven't looked at my profile on Hinge like at all, have you?
Well, like, no, I mean, like, I'm talking like heavy. You have this perception of yourself as a goth. It's come up a few times, and I'm like, what is she talking about?
Like I used to be. I used to be like ridiculous.
Like, okay, so that's what you're talking about.
Oh, yeah. Oh, no, somewhere, I don't know. Oh, maybe it's on Instagram. I call myself a recovering goth.
Mm-hmm, I did see that.
Yeah. And yeah, it's very, very true and very sad. And I was into the whole club thing and went to Death Guild every Monday night.
Okay, I don't even know what you're talking about. What club thing? What kind of clubs? What? Goth clubs?
Goth clubs? Yeah. Yeah.
What is that?
What is a goth club?
Yeah, never heard of this before.
So, they just pretty much play like goth industrial music. Heavy doses of Kate Bush and Combi Christ and V&V Nation. And should I just keep naming
bands? I have no idea what you're talking about. I've heard like German heavy metal. Is that kind of maybe?
Yeah, sure.
In the right genre-ish.
Like and stuff like that. Yeah.
Okay.
Rammstein, Wolfstein.
A friend of mine, a really good friend of mine, liked stuff like that. I never got it. But I also didn't understand Radiohead at the time. So we learned.
Well, I mean, oh God, so you've learned Radiohead?
I love Radiohead now, but she started with that Major Tom song and she was like, isn't this amazing? And we're watching the music video and I'm like, I don't know, it's a little weird.
All right.
But then I heard Creep and like a bad Radiohead fan, I fell in love.
That's great that you found something that spoke to you.
You're not supposed to love Creep. They hate Creep. They won't even play it.
Who hates Creep? Creep is like the only fucking good song.
Radiohead does.
Oh, who is the they that we're talking about?
I'm talking about specifically Radiohead. I was at a Radiohead concert in Paris and people were screaming, Creep, Creep. And they were like, no, we don't play that song.
Oh, God. So fucking do you speak French, by the way?
I fucking wish. That's my dream. That's why I originally had my OkCupid set to France, because I wanted to move to France and learn French, but then I figured out everybody there is like not nearly attractive enough. It was really upsetting because I desperately want to move to Paris and learn French. So my new dream is to have someone move with me to Paris and then we'll speak French together. I don't know. And not have to date there, because that just doesn't seem... I think it's the cigarettes.
It's the cigarettes and it's, like, all the bread. Like, I feel like you would die for multiple reasons.
Oh, no. I think I'd do fine with... Like, it's Monsanto-free. Monsanto is banned in France and many of the neighboring countries. So I think I'd eat my fucking face off with croissants and it would be glorious. I can't wait. This is literally, like, my goal in life.
But like... Okay, but when we talked yesterday, your goal in life was Sweden, so I'm wondering why it changed.
Well, really, like, if I could pick one, it would be get a significant other here, move to France. But if I can't find someone here, then I'll have to settle for Sweden, because I don't want to date anyone in France. Look, I'm not proud of this, okay? I'm not saying I'm a good person. My value hierarchy works.
I don't think there's anything wrong with that. You have to know your goals.
Thank you. I appreciate that.
Yeah. I did not like Paris, like, whatsoever.
You're a bad person.
I am a bad person.
Shut up.
Not for this reason. But
Paris is magical. How do you not like Paris? Like, okay, what's wrong with you? Like, show me on the doll where you were touched as a child that makes you hate Paris, because there's got to be a bone for that or something.
Phrasing. Stop. It honestly, for me, it's like San Francisco with a tower. It smells like urine.
Oh my God, that's like hilarious. That. I do hate San Francisco. Go on.
Why do you hate San Francisco? It's the best city in the world.
You just said it was like San Francisco, but with a tower, which makes it better than San Francisco, and that you don't like Paris, but now you like San Francisco, which you were just about to shit all over. So what are you talking about?
Okay,
you
need to- I have never shit in San Francisco on the floor. Okay. Peed, yes, many times. Many other things.
See,
but I've never shit.
Part of my problem with San Francisco, it does smell like urine. Paris does not smell like urine.
I feel like either you or I went to all the wrong places. I will say that a freaking Disney Paris, Euro Disney is awful. And it
okay,
made me sad.
What kind of person even thinks about going to Euro Disney? That is not the point. Is that why you went?
No, actually, that was part of a vacation where I literally went to London to see Kate Bush, because she hadn't toured in like as long as I'd been alive, and I really wanted to see her. And my ex and I ended up getting tickets, which was very hard to do, and just decided, well, we are going at least to London to see Kate Bush.
That's
and,
awesome.
Hey, Paris, yeah. Everyone's fucking thing. And I'm like, yeah, let's do this. So, like, for my big birthday, my 30th birthday, he, like, took me to dinner with all my friends. And I'm like, just so you know, I'm doing a little bit more here.
Wow.
We're going to see Kate Bush at
the
Apollo.
In fucking London.
Yeah, it was fucking amazing. Mm. But also, I really like Disneyland a lot. I know you hate it and crowds and all that, but mm-hmm. I really
People.
Like it.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
So many people.
But it's like so America. That's like not what you go to Paris for. Did you go to the Louvre?
It is not America whatsoever. I've been to three Disneylands. I've been to Tokyo Disney, Disneyland, and Euro Disney. Possums, which apparently is a phrase I like to use around you.
I have that effect on people.
Do you? Yeah, I figured.
The microcosm effect.
Yes.
Yeah, I can't imagine me being in another country and being willing to go to a Disneyland. But people love their Disneyland. I have friends that have passes. They go all the time. I think they're fucking weird. I don't get it. I don't know if it's like some nostalgia thing or what is it about Disneyland that speaks to you people?
That I can just kind of escape it all and just go on rides and be a big kid. And
okay, so does like other places do it for you? Does it have to be Disneyland? Can it be Great America, Six Flags?
Have you been to Great America lately? Like, are you a gang member? Like, what are you talking about here? Like,
yeah, no, Disneyland is more magical and enchanted and totally different. So it's not the fucking rides then, because Great America has just as cool rides. Mm. Except for Space Mountain.
Yeah. Space Mountain is really cool. And Haunted Mansion is great. I got married there. That's how much of a fucking nerd I am.
Wow.
And, yeah. God, it was so fucking awesome. And the best part was our photographer used to work there. So they gave her, like, privileges. And she, like, threw us on the back of a golf cart. And she's like, okay, we're going to go back roads.
That's amazing.
And I was super drunk and I almost fell off. Like,
wow.
It was pretty cool.
So you really love you some Disneyland. That's what I learned.
I really do. And I really love Japan, and Japan Disneyland is so clean and so nice, and everyone was polite and the food was fantastic.
Cool.
And, oh God. And then Euro Disney was like in disrepair and people were not nice.
Sacrebleu.
Smelled, yeah. Oh, and here's the other thing. So the place that we stayed at, one of the places we stayed in Paris, the gentleman who was running the front door decided to lock it after like 6 p.m. or something. So we came back and then couldn't get in the house.
Mm-hmm.
And then he was really mad that we wanted to get in.
Totally.
And then he had gone into our room and he took out
all of the basically toiletries, including toilet paper and like paper towels and everything.
Passive aggressive match. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So it was a bit of a problem. So, I mean, it wasn't a great.
See, I have the patience for French people because they're like, I've never had one be passive aggressive. That's new to me. I didn't know that's how they rolled, but they are pretty multicultural there. So maybe he's like from a different nationality or something, but I like they're no bullshit. You know, I'm going to be rude, but you're going to get your steak, lady. I'm like, all right, whatever. Thanks. I don't need like validation and pleasantries and bullshit. Like that doesn't, I'll do it. And I actually enjoy like making people at the grocery store laugh. It's like a sick hobby of mine.
Yeah.
But I don't need it at all. And I think a lot of Americans do. And that's why they don't somehow get Paris. Were you outside at nighttime in Paris?
Toilet paper. That is something I need.
Okay. Bring your own toilet paper fair. Next time. Did Obviously. You go outside at nighttime?
I did.
And you didn't fall in love with the city. You saw the fucking Eiffel Tower lighting up on the hour in the corner like a Christmas tree, and you were like, meh.
Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's pretty, but it's not as pretty as like a lighthouse on the ocean or something. Like, it's a tower. It's really cool. I like it. Like, architecturally, it's fascinating. And we went on a tour where we got to see ground and all the elevators that like Matisse did and everything, like that was super cool. I really enjoyed that. We had a tour guide who was into me, and it was very awkward. and she was Swedish.
Hello.
Yeah. Why hello? You're really tall and blonde. You're not my type, and I am here with my husband at the time. Mm-hmm. This is very awkward.
Mm-hmm.
But she was a great tour guide though. And we got to like, you know, see a whole bunch of other stuff and everything. So, I mean, that was really neat. I like that tower. We did not go to the Louvre.
Okay. So if you should find yourself in Paris again, and I'm mad at me already for like telling this to the world. One night a week, the Louvre is open, and nobody knows that, so nobody goes. It's like Wednesday night at 9 o'clock, and so you can just walk around during the day. It's packed. It's horrible. There's like people. There's like 50 people between you and the Mona Lisa, and you're like, oh yeah, that's nice, huh? Looks like it did in the photo.
Yeah.
But when you can walk around and literally do cartwheels until someone gets mad at you and tells you to stop.
Yeah, I feel like that'd be pretty soon. Like. Half a cartwheel tops.
Oh no, I did too. they said that if I did any more, I'd have to leave. But you know, I was like, my work here is done. That's like, what I wanted to accomplish. I've been to the Louvre before.
The Louvre. This is fine.
Right? Yeah. No. I mean, I picked a good spot. I wasn't like Statue of David adjacent or anything.
Good call. Good call.
But they still were not having it. But it's amazing. Then you can walk right up to Michelangelo's David or the Venus de Milo or the Mona Lisa. And you're like, I feel like such a badass right now. Because you're basically, it's like being alone at midnight in a museum. It's awesome. Okay, either we're never going to travel together because I don't want to go to Disneyland. Or I'm going to introduce you to a whole new world like Aladdin.
Fuck you. God damn.
We are very different travelers.
I'm gonna say, but yeah.
Thank you. I do try.
I usually don't shut up. I think you figured this out already, but good. Good for you.
Okay, so when we first started talking, you told me what your degree, how to say it out loud. And I have multiple brains, so I forgot. Yeah. Is it a bachelor of something in criminology?
I got a nothing in criminology because I nothing. Actually,
interesting tactic. Uh-huh.
Yeah, this was a great tactic. And as I look back on it, it has really made a difference. But I'm still very upset with myself for some reason. I dropped
as
down.
We do.
Mm-hmm. I know. I mean, because it helps, right?
So debatable.
I dropped yeah, I dropped out my senior year at Cal because they actually dropped the criminology program for lack of.
Okay.
Didn't tell any of us, and we got letters in the mail, all like 25 of us or something at the time. Mm-hmm. And they switched me from criminology, which is a science based, mm-hmm. To abnormal psychology, of which like I think like 16 units or something transferred. And I'm just mm-hmm. like,
yeah, I was gonna say that's not the same at all.
Not even fucking close. Yeah. And I had done this all on my own and without taking out loans, and I was working, and like my parents always bought my books. Yeah, I just realized I lied. My parents always bought my books, but like I didn't take out any loans and was like super hustling.
Yeah. Oh my God. I just like pulled the rug from underneath you.
Yep. Yep. And as a 22-year-old and as a 39-year-old, marched into the dean's office and gave him a piece of my mind, which did absolutely nothing, but I felt better and dropped out, and that was it. And obviously didn't have a career in that field. I work for a health system now in IT, but I still like love all that stuff. I mean, my specialty was like blood and fibers. So like I
gross.
Super
gross.
I know, it's so great. You'd love it.
No, ew. Other people's blood totally creeps me out.
Don't say other people's blood. Don't assume.
Well, if it's in my circle of love, then I don't mind the blood.
Oh, good.
Like, if my dog is bleeding, I have no problem, like, wrapping that up and taking care of it.
Red. Yeah.
But if it's out of the circle of intimacy, it's like, get away from me. I mean, I'm a big germaphobe who like aspires to turn into Howard Hughes and never leave my house again. That's like my not so secret goal in life.
But is your house going to be in Paris or just your house now? Or are you
hopefully
gonna
Paris.
Move the house?
It'd be great if I could move this house to Paris. That would be ideal. I like where your head's at.
Yeah. Yeah, I had an apartment that I just totally fucking loved, and it was out in Concord, California, which is like far East Bay, where it gets to be like 110 degrees like half the summer.
Sounds horrible. Mm-hmm.
Oh, it's awful. But everyone fucking loved my apartment, and I had air conditioning and everything. And like one night we were having a party, and one of my buddies was just like, you know, this apartment would be fucking great if it wasn't here. Like, hey. The apartment is great. Like, it's
just
not
the
fault.
Surrounding location that's less than desirable.
Yeah, it's fine. Would you? Okay,
that's how I feel about my house. Like, I love drinking wine in my house.
Yeah,
but as soon as I leave, I'm like, oh, this is where my house is.
Yeah, yeah, that's. I mean, I actually, my neighborhood is not as bad as people would think. My city makes a lot of top 10 lists, not for good reasons, but I'm like in a good little pocket. Like, all my neighbors are really cool and we don't really have any problems here or anything. I got like a laptop delivered the other day. And
okay. Yeah. I mean, yeah. I don't live in a scary place either. I just live in a boring place, and I don't use the word boring very liberally, but.
Mm-hmm.
This is like the place that turned Tim Burton into the kid that hung out at the cemetery. That's how I feel.
Oh my God, so you guys like have a cemetery?
Well, I have to drive pretty far for a pretty cool cemetery, but
okay,
well. there is a cemetery I spend some time in.
Well, there you go. I mean, so the town I grew up in was like, I think it's like 463 people or something. So like
it sounds awful.
It was terrible. It was, I mean, like as a kid, I guess it was a good place to grow up when I was a lot younger.
Oh my God. Were there even kids your age? 400 people. What are there, like 8 5-year-olds?
Well, my graduating class from 8th grade was 6 people. So there's that. But
yeah, and, oh my God. That's so weird and sad.
It was like
my mom.
Kids. Did you have any friends? I did not I like one out of six peers. Friends.
I don't know why you're doing this to me. That's just
no.
Me.
I know, because I liked like five people out of my whole. If there's only six kids in the school, I feel.
Like, I feel like you would have just been the popular kid because obviously you liked like all the rest of your class, so that's perfect.
Everybody likes each other. Weird. I can't even imagine that. I went to a very traditional American school that like they make movies about how shitty it is to grow up in a school like that. That's where I went to school.
Really? That is such a okay. So since I went to basically a farmhouse school, that is such a trip to me. So you went to like the Degrassi Junior High type thing.
It's real for sure. Like there's you guys jocks have a and skaters and goths and did you just ask if we had a cafeteria?
You're sounding judgy right now. You're sounding really fucking judgy.
Did you guys eat? Did they starve the farm children?
Okay. Here's the thing. If someone forgot their lunch, they always had bread and peanut butter and jelly in there.
Wow. So you don't even know about that shitty, weird, fake poison pizza that they tried to pass off on kids.
So yeah, okay. That's, you know, God. So you were rich, too? God.
No, rich. I didn't eat the fake pizza.
Ugh.
I didn't want to. Like, honestly, I remember bringing these little menus home and they'd be like, oh, what days do you want to eat the school's food? And so when you first start school, you're like, yeah, I'll try this pizza. And you're like, I'm never getting that again. And then you slowly do that with every food they offer. And you're like, nah, mom, just make me a PB&J, serve it with a carrot. Thanks.
So once a month we had hot dog day, which was a big deal. And the teachers would make hot dogs. You could buy a hot dog for $1 with like chips and a milk. Like
okay, so earlier today you accused me of being an extrovert, and I'm going to take your hot dog day one step further, and say that me and my two best friends in high school had something called lunch club, where it was like us three and maybe like. I don't know, five teachers, and we had gourmet lunches every day. It was amazing. And so you'd pair up with like a different person every week, and you'd be responsible for like one lunch a day, and we'd have like three course meals and just eat incredible food all the time. So what kind of extroverted kid does that? Come on.
Do you know what extrovert means? Like, you joined a club.
I was hiding. I made the club, okay? So there's a difference between someone who joins a club and someone who makes a club. I didn't like any of the options, so I had to make my own club.
And you made a club that involved teachers and friends and doing things outside your comfort zone.
Two friends. All of this was well within my comfort zone. I mean, I have a very big comfort zone.
Like most introverts do. Go on.
I have a huge comfort zone. I don't think that's introverted or extroverted. I think that's like more of like indicative and illustrative of one's capacity for openness. Okay, but introverts. So like I can spend days at a time all by myself and not like even need to make a phone call or put music on.
Yeah, same.
I like to read and take baths. I mean, that's introverted shit. Why do you think I'm an extrovert? Just because I have this aspect of sociability that I can choose to partake in, but usually don't?
Yeah, because it's a choice. And introverts generally can't make that choice. See, introverts.
That's what we've done to the word introvert. But Carl Jung was like very specific in saying that sociability is only one aspect. I'm never going to say it right. You can't make me. Only one aspect of introversion, extroversion.
How do you say Eric Fromm?
What?
How do you say Eric Fromm?
From. Okay.
You passed, yeah.
He's the best. I love him.
I know.
So anyway, you're studying, not studying, whatever, criminology. I thought you had like a graduate degree because you were like interviewing a murderer.
Oh, a serial killer, yeah.
Yeah. No, I mean, how did you get to do that without even having a degree? This doesn't even sound safe.
Oh, no. I was in school to get the degree when I did that. Mm-hmm. Yeah. It wasn't just extracurricular.
He's like, hello, Clarice. He just keeps showing up. What's up?
What's up, brother? I ended up having a professor. I had a few professors that I was fairly close to and that I liked a lot, and they knew how interested I was in this kind of stuff. Mm-hmm. And one of them was like, hey, you know, I have a friend I think you'd like to meet, and I talk about him in one of the upcoming lessons. And so we get done with the lesson on Ed Kemper, and he goes, hey, Paul, like, come here. You know, I want to talk to you. And I'm like, and I'm thinking, like, through my head, I'm like, what am I late on? What am I doing? Or, you know, anything like that.
Mm-hmm.
And he says, I'm going to be putting together a group, a small group that I go up and talk to Ed.
And I'm like, and you were like, yes, let me.
Like, yeah, you are. And I'm like, why is there a group? Why isn't it just
the true introvert. See, you're like, I don't know, I'm more misanthropic about your introversion, I think. Why is there a group? That's, I don't know, that's very classic introvert. It's weird of me to be introverted and always want to collaborate.
No, me, it's like, why is there a fucking group? Because I'm fucking fantastic. I don't know why you're bringing these other yutzes around, because seriously, it was just like filler.
The teacher felt the same.
I think so. Mm-hmm. And I think it was just so, like, it wouldn't be he and I
weird. Yeah.
Together. Yeah.
Yeah.
And, yeah.
I can totally see all of this happening. Okay. Yeah. So
we brought these yahoos with us. And so it was like, so I know, unfortunately, you looked up Ed Kemper, and I apologize for not telling you not to Google when I said
the
words together.
Since we're in podcast land, tell the good people of Nerdacious Behavior how horrible the things were that Ed Kemper did.
So Ed Kemper was a pretty horrible dude. He did a lot of bad things. He killed, I think, actually about 16 or 17 people. I forget what it was now.
But they only found 10.
Yeah, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And
what time frame was this?
Early 70s.
Okay. And yeah, this is in the 70s. Santa Cruz Mountains, where I'm from, actually, which was, I believe, at the time, the murder capital of the United States.
Oh, yeah, because it was Ed Kemper, and, like, Green River Killer was also active down there, and, like, the Doodler, like, y'all create the serial killers.
Yeah, we had a lot of them.
Oh my god. Okay, sorry. You had said SC before, and I'm like, oh, she's from South Carolina. Weird. She doesn't have an accent. Okay, Santa Cruz.
Right.
You know, I swear to God I'm intelligent. But yeah.
So, all coming together.
Yeah, this all works. So Ed, you know, his first murders were his grandparents. He, like, shot them, not cool, and everything.
Was there a reason? Did something happen?
So the reason he was with his grandparents, his mom hated him because he was male and he looked a lot like his father. She did not like his father. His father apparently wasn't a good person. She had him, Ed, and I forget if he had one or two sisters. He had at least one, and there may have been two.
But she didn't hate the sister because the sister didn't look like the dad.
And
unfortunately for everyone, she passed this gene along to Ed, because then he came to hate women who look like his mother, right?
Well, yeah, but she also would lock him in the basement and wouldn't feed him, and he'd be forced to eat, like, his own poop
and
urine, and she treated him really poorly and beat him, and, like, it wasn't good. Like,
she's, like, off a rocker. That's not...
Oh, yeah. She's totally off it. Like, if you've ever...
Crazy. That's just crazy to me that people can do that. Like, if I see, I mean, I just started killing insects a couple years ago, only because I think there's a war between good and evil, and that's my part of my place in this war that I've made up in my head.
I like
so it's it. Not even all insects, it's only some insects. I'm insects that are, like, poisonous and stuff, and, you know, like, I'd hate. I'm very sad when I have to kill ants. I think ants are innately good.
Do you? I feel like you haven't seen what they've done to my kitchen.
Okay.
I fucking hate it.
I apologize to every insect while I'm killing it, even like black widows. I'm like, I'm sorry. So that's the kind of murderer I am.
Yeah. No, I can't. I mean, that's great. That's very humane and stuff.
I don't think they give a shit about the apology. They're like, this, I'm never going to see the sunshine again, bitch.
You're going to kill me, bitch. This is fine. I had children. It's fine. They're not me. I treated them like crap.
Okay. So anyway, sorry, we digress. You had personal interviews with Ed. That's how you know about this grandparent story, or you read about him?
Yeah, well, I mean, we talked about, it's both. Pretty much I went up there and like, I'd done a bunch of research on him and everything and wanted to talk to him. And the other thing that my professor told me was that Ed was also a really big Star Wars fan. And I'm like, you were bullshitting me. The other thing is just,
she's like, I'm in.
I'm so in. And I fucking look like his victims. Perfect. So there's a series on Netflix called Mindhunter. Mindhunter, yes.
Sounds like some shit I would never watch. Go ahead.
Do not watch it. Dude, yeah, I'm sorry. I should have prefaced with that. Do not watch this, Eva, at all, ever. And he's featured on one of them. I think it's like the second or third episode. So, but this was like, I don't know, 10, 15 years ago. I'm old. And so I went up there and I knew he liked Star Wars and he was a terrible person. In addition to his mom doing all that, like, he was kind of the inspiration for the Hannibal Lecter character.
Wow. Really?
Yeah. Yeah. So he is the guy. Cause
he's super smart. He has an IQ of 145. That's a genius, I think.
He's very intelligent. Like I gotta say he's a fucking awesome dude. Like, for real. And I realize that's disgusting. And So when he kills his mom and her best friend, he skull fucked her.
Goodness. God.
He ripped out her larynx and he put it in the garbage disposal. And he said, and that's a point I knew, like, she was finally done. She wasn't going to tell me I was a horrible person anymore.
Wow. He just and wanted, like, the abuse to stop, but also...
Stop talking. Just stop talking. Wow. So, of course, me, who never stops talking, is perfect.
You look just like his mom / victims.
I have dark, long hair, and it was parted in the middle, and I used to straighten it at the time, so I looked like...
That's how everyone looked in 1970.
Exactly, so it was perfect. And when I first went in and met him, like, there were two guards that came in with him, my professor, which was a detective on his case,
me,
and the guy, and the other little guy that we brought with us, who said fucking nothing the whole time. They, like, fucking hid behind me. And, like, they
shook his hand. He's all scared.
Pussies. So I go up and I shake his hand. And he grabs my hand. And, like, I can still feel where he... Because he's huge. I think he's like 6'5", 6'6".
Yeah, like, I read 6'5".
Yeah, he's really tall. And really big. And he, like, squished my
hand. And the hand squeezer. Oh, God.
I'm like, this is where it ends. And, like, the guards come up and they're like, Ed. And I'm like, oh. And I'm like, that's a strong handshake you got there.
Wow. Creepy.
I hear you like Star Wars. Let's wrap, bro. We, to just keep... You know, in time with Nerdacious behavior, we sung the Ewok song together, which I was very impressed. He knew all the words. And, like, I even stumbled on some of them. So that was pretty cool.
Yeah, I couldn't do that shit.
Yeah, no, I'm glad. Because you're not really as nerdy, I think, as...
Well, it depends on your definition of nerd. My mom called me a big nerd. I just like to learn. Oh, that's what kind of nerd I am. Like, if I get interested in something, I'm going to dive deep down that rabbit hole. Like,
I've noticed.
Yeah, so that's
crazy.
But I don't get off on pop culture, like, at all. And I really just want to hide from humanity as a general rule.
Yeah. Humanity's
general rule. But I mean, we bonded over that, and then we talked some more about his victims and like where there were a couple more that he said, you know, that they never found, and this is where they were. And, yeah.
Okay, so go back to why did he kill his grandparents? Because that was the first murder, right?
Yeah. I forget, like he was angry with them, basically. He was like, I think he was 13 or 14.
And very young. Wow.
Yeah. So like that was all expunged. Like that wasn't even clouding anything.
Really? Oh my God. Yeah. That's intense. Sometimes 17-year-olds like accidentally kill someone and they're like, triple life sentence. This guy with like malice aforethought? Like, was it premeditated?
Oh yeah. Yeah, he planned. Like, he got the rifle that either his grandpa got him like for his birthday or like his grandpa's rifle, I forget. But basically, he waited for him to get home. He in the back of the head and eat a sandwich or something. I forget.
Wow.
But then he like waited for his grandma to get home, and then he shot her because he didn't want her to have to see his grandpa. So then he went to an institution for a while, and then he was released into his mother's care.
Okay, so at this point, if I'm mom, I'm walking on fucking eggshells because I realize I made a monster over here. But this bitch is like cocky as all sin, and she's still just talking a bunch of shit to him.
She is.
And, those were her parents?
Those were his dad's parents.
Okay.
Yeah. And I don't actually, that's a good thing to bring up. I don't remember what happened to his dad. I don't remember if he just like beat feet or like if he was around or what.
Sad.
But yeah, no. I mean, like, just a sad story all around. And there's like, I think his name is David Peltzer, I want to say. Have you ever read A Child Called It?
Yes.
Okay. So very similar stories.
Yes.
Very different points of view, right?
Yes.
So David had like basically all the same shit happened to him, but chose to make things positive and chose to go out into the world and chose to, you know, fight against whatever demons he had.
Right, rise to the occasion and really grab life by the horns and
exactly
write a book about it that just makes everybody with any kind of feeling heart cry.
yeah. And I mean, like who's to say who has what mental capacity to deal with whatever at any point in time, right? But you know,
yeah, we don't know what happened in the first like 2 years of these two individuals' developments. Maybe he didn't meet evil until later, and he had had enough.
Yeah.
You know, intense. Okay. So, why are you bringing up this other awful story?
You know, it's pretty much the same story. It just has a better ending.
Right.
So yeah, Ed drove through like Nevada and Colorado with like a skin suit of his mom and like part of his head. And
he's Hannibal Lecter.
Yeah, dude. Like it is.
Why did they even have to change stuff for the movie? They should have put the larynx like in the garbage disposal. That's super creepy.
I don't think he had talked about that yet when the movie came out.
Okay.
I don't think that was out yet.
Wow.
And I mean, they changed a lot of stuff up. Like, it wasn't his mom or anything.
Right.
So.
I feel like it would have been a more scarier movie if they would have just stuck to the facts. God is the best writer. I don't know. This is mortifying. I'm gonna have nightmares. Oh, God.
So, also, okay. Do not Google this name. Okay. So, Albert Fish, German guy. They also like it was kind of a combination between the two, because he did a lot of house murders and just kind of holding people captive and stuff like that, which was really different from what Ed did.
Okay,
but yeah, he's super disgusting. He's the one like I had told you about the other podcast that I like.
Right, where
there's like some that I can't get out of my head,
and that's one of them.
That is one of them. There was a story that I had never heard about him, and they started talking about it, and it haunts me to this day. Like,
so if you want to hear the creepiest episode of My Favorite Murder, it's the Albert Fish episode, is what I just learned.
It is. So I'm going to tell you. You, Yvette.
Yeah, I'm not going to. I'm not going to. Yeah. I don't dig murder shows. We'll talk about that later. But That's not my bag, baby.
It's well, but you know what? They're also a lot about safety and about okay. empowering.
And that's where people. I wanted to parlay this whole thing. Safety and, but first I also want you to tell your kidnapping story.
Oh God.
Okay. Because I feel like you can't address the safety aspect without addressing the safety kid, raising safe kids thing.
Yeah. Okay. So like I said, I grew up in a very small town. When I was a baby, a gentleman or a kid at the time named Steven Stainer had been kidnapped. None of us apparently knew him as Steven Stainer. His name was like, Dennis Parnell, I think. And this story has been relayed to me through relatives. And he used to live.
'Cause you're a baby.
'Cause I was a baby. Yes. Steven Stainer was kidnapped from Central California, like 7 or 8 years before this. Right. Mm-hmm. And the guy who kidnapped him,
he was seven at the time.
Yeah, I think so.
Mm-hmm. And it was two men who originally kidnapped him, right?
It
was like one guy puppeteering some guy who like may not have been some sort of imbecile character, like that didn't really understand what was happening, right?
No. Yeah, you're totally no. I don't think he was an imbecile though. I think he was another child molester, and like he gave him like church pamphlets or something.
Right. Yeah.
Yeah.
So he was walking home from school.
Yeah.
7 years old, and they're like, "Hey, kid. Do you think your mom would be interested in donating stuff to our church?"
God, and he's like, as good at wikiing as I am. I love that. Go on.
I learned a thing or two in law school. it's literally what we learned in law school is that like most things can be found on the internet. it's a very expensive lesson, it turns out.
It really was. You could just use Mr. Google.
Whoops. Yeah. No, I also learned about critical thinking, I like to think. But the point is,
education and shit.
I don't know. I mean, honestly, definitely not worth the money or the trauma. But yeah. He's walking home from school, and these guys ask if his mom would be willing to donate stuff to their church donation. And he's like, yeah, totally. So then he gets in their car, as you do.
Of course, because you're seven, and it's like the early 70s. And sure, of course my mom will donate. She has a bunch of stuff in the garage she'll give you.
So sad. And then they don't drive him home.
They do not.
But they do drive him to a place that's like rock throwing distance from his grandparents' place, right? He didn't know that because he's a dumb 7-year-old.
And he's a 7-year-old who's been like beaten into submission and knocked out, and they take him in and just do what they will with him.
This kid never thought about running away, though. He was there for, like, 7 years or something?
Yeah, because he didn't get away until, like, 81 or 82, so I was, like, one or two.
So they brainwashed him. They were like, your parents sold you to me. They have too many kids. They can't afford it.
Yep, they don't want
Now it. Your name is Dennis.
Yep.
Which is crazy, because I was thinking about this. This makes me a bad person, I'm aware. And I was like, if someone tried to steal my dog and they were like, but hang out here on the front lawn, but you know, your mom doesn't want you anymore. My dog would be like, fuck you. I'm finding my way home. Especially if he's like anywhere near where he can get to me, but he's leaving for sure. And that's a dog.
Well, that's a dog because dogs don't have the capacity or do have the capacity to just have like a homing beacon. Whereas me, if you take me like 6 blocks away from my house and you beat the shit out of me.
You're intuitive. I get it. Okay. But still, Chappelle has like a whole bit about this. 'Cause he's like, Elizabeth Smart, not so smart. You know, she's taken. It's funny when Chappelle says it. Trust me. Or was it Chappelle or was it Patrice? I think it was Chappelle. And then he talks about a little girl who doesn't make the news around the same time. She's African American. They tie her up, leave her there. She gnaws her way through the ropes, escapes.
Yeah.
She's kidnapped at 4. At 5:30, she's watching herself on the news.
Hell yeah.
This is a safety thing that I want to address. Obviously, we don't want to torment our kids and scare the shit out of them needlessly. But I'm gonna argue it's not needless, and your kid needs a safety talk. So maybe my parents went a little overboard, because I was like fully prepared to be kidnapped as a small child. I was ready for it at all times. Like,
yeah, good job, mom and dad.
Bronx. So he like drilled it into my head that it's fucking weird if an adult has any interest in you, and he's probably trying to kidnap you, and this and that might happen, and he might say this, and he might do something, and then, you know, like, he might not even kidnap you, but just do something you don't like, and then you go back home, and he says, if you tell your parents, I'll kill everyone. He's like, fuck that, I'll fucking kill him. You know, it was just, it was really... I knew what to do. I knew to scream in a parking lot. I knew not to be quiet.
Yeah.
I knew I had the best chances if I could stay in that public place and not let myself get taken away.
Yeah. No, and that's perfect. And another piece of advice that totally flows with that is that an adult will never ask a child for help. There is no reason ever for an adult to ask a child for help.
Even if it's like, have you seen my puppy? Get the fuck out of there.
No.
Nope. Nope. No, I have not. No. And now I'm running fuck the other direction.
Yeah. And another, my favorite murder tip of the hat is like, fuck politeness. No, you don't need to be polite. You get the fuck away. No, you don't. And that's to children. And that is definitely how I will raise my children too. Yeah, no, they're not, no, they're gonna fight and eye gouge and whatever the hell they need to do. I'm pretty sure my son would already do that.
That was a thing that I learned too at a young age. You can always gouge somebody's eyes out with your tiny fingers. All right, Dad. I went to karate class. I did karate for years, and I remember in like one of my first karate classes, I didn't actually do it, but they were like, what would you do if you were in this situation? And my sensei is like a huge dude. He looks like, oh fuck, why am I blanking on his name? Bob Saget. which when you're like eight is huge.
Oh yeah. I'm impressed now.
Like 12 feet tall. yeah. Bob Saget is great. But anyway, if I held you like this and you were this, what would you do? And I'd say, I'd take my one thumb that's free and I'd stick it in your eye. And he's like, how far would you go? And I was like, as far as it could go. And he was like, good answer. And I was eight. Like,
hell yeah. How far do you go? You grab the eyeball and you pull.
Yeah. I mean, I don't want to do any of these things. I don't even like killing insects, but
survival.
You gotta be, you got to mentally prepare for this so that you're not making those choices in the moment, so that you're reaching into a toolbox of like, okay, I have the theory for this situation. And I think a lot of adults don't even have that. And a lot of kids definitely don't have it. A lot of adults aren't telling their kids that. So, so that is how we tie this whole thing into wellness and health.
Safety is very important, and people don't consider it, you know, and people don't want to do it. They don't want to scream. They don't want to call attention. They don't want to be a disturbance. When really this is like, there are bad people out there. There are bad people that want to hurt people. Everyone is not intrinsically good.
Totally. Like, we live in such a different world today too than we did when I was a kid, right? Because like, it was drilled into my head, like, strangers bad. Yeah. But now you get in an Uber with a stranger, go to school and get shot by your classmate. Like, this world is upside down. I don't even know how to have what the fuck to tell kids. My niece just started school.
Oh, God.
And she was like, what do I do if there's a mass shooting? And I hated that I had to tell her this, but I had to tell her it just in case it ever comes in handy. And I said, well, one tactic that I've read about that's been successful for some people is if other kids are shot and dead around you, you can crawl underneath them and then you look like you're dead and they'll just floss on by. And I was like, I hate telling this to a small kid, but I'm also going to.
Yeah. Did I tell you about, like, I just did an active shooter drill with police departments and stuff. Did I tell you?
You just did a what?
I did an active shooter drill.
Oh, no. What are you talking about? An active shooter drill at a school?
No, actually,
at the hospital.
At the hospital. So we have this old building that's going to be torn down, and a couple of the neighboring police departments, and also.
Wow! So now these happen everywhere, not just schools. They have them at hospitals.
Well,
I had no idea.
Oh God, no! And it's we have issues too, but no, and it is also to train for a school. But obviously we're not going to subject kids to an active shooter drill. So we had like the couple of police departments and the firefighters and everything. And, and we got instructions, and the only instruction that we had, we were not allowed to do, which I was really upset by, was we were not allowed, to fight. So you basically have three options when there's a shooter or something like that. And your first one is run. And your second is hide, and your last defense is to fight.
Mm-hmm.
So we weren't allowed to fight because they didn't want us or the police officers to hurt them, each other, and
the volunteer, volunteer. That's fair.
The way we set up the drill, I can't go into a ton, but we kind of made it as it was a sort of setting that it would be like in a hospital clinic or something like that, and someone was very upset and had gotten a gun there. And and it just started with hearing noises that you shouldn't hear in a certain environment, and always being aware of where your exits are and things like that. And once he started shooting, I ran, because the part I was playing was of a patient, and I noticed right away that if I had been the part of a person where I was at work, I would have had a totally different reaction. I haven't had with a shooter, but I've had a knife pulled on me at work.
Oh, dear God. What? Gnarly.
Yeah.
You really pissed someone off. You just do IT. What the fuck?
No, I didn't. No, at that time I was a patient advocate.
Okay.
And I was trying to help.
That makes slightly more sense, but
he fucked up. I mean, he had a lot of mental issues going on too. So,
The thing I think that ties all of these things together is just like a mental unwellness. And I think we have such a stigma about mental illness. And I argue that that's like a complete fallacy, because I think that just as your body gets ill throughout your life, your mind will get ill throughout your life. And so some people, though, they just are having a, you know, either a spiraling or a really enormous episode, and and things that can't be undone are done. And it's just, it's too bad that there's not enough support in our culture.
It is. And it's really unfortunate that it's, you know, it's usually straight white males that it happens to. And these straight white males are unfortunately taught from a very young age in a lot of our society that they're not allowed to ask for help. They're not even allowed to cry.
Glad you said that.
Yeah.
Everyone's always picking on straight white guys. And I mean, I get it. Okay. When I started stand up, my whole thing was picking on straight white guys, but then everyone started to do it. It's like not fun anymore, because there are people too. And yeah, there's definitely perks of being a straight white guy, but I wouldn't want to be one.
No, there's a lot you have to, like, with however you're born, you're going to have something to deal with.
Yeah.
But to be that like archetype that is, that you're not allowed to feel, you're not allowed to express emotion.
I don't want no part of that.
Yeah.
No, too Latina for that bullshit. I would be the worst straight white guy ever. They'd be like, awful. Oh, Frank There'd is such so a bitch.
No, I just, it's really sad. I've got a girlfriend of mine does a hashtag on Instagram that's called like therapy selfie. And like, she's trying so hard to get her straight white male friends to use it. No one will do it. I was like, oh my God.
Funny.
I'm like, the next time I go, I'll use it. And she's like, oh, I'm halfway there. Kind of, maybe a quarter. Fuck you. Don't use your stupid hashtag then.
Aw.
I'll use her hashtag.
Well, it's interesting. We don't, this is like an unpopular opinion, but straight white guys get picked on a lot, especially lately. They are like the new gay guy. Like, they're the new person who's like, okay, like in the 90s, it was like okay to make fun of people for being homosexual. Now it's okay for being making fun of people for being straight. And
yeah,
in both respects, it's just like, what are we even talking about? Like, none of this, I don't know. I don't find it particularly comical. Maybe my humor's just a bit dark, but I don't see the funny in any of it. I'm also just anti all forms of bullying.
Yeah. And I mean, there's where it can be funny, and then, yeah, when it crosses over to where you're just picking on someone, it, you know, it ceases to be funny.
Well, I think intent is a huge deal, right? Because rarely does someone go to poke fun at a straight white guy, and then I feel like you're bullying them. You know, usually there's a lot of anger, I think, in our culture about the patriarchy, which I get. Like, you know, it's not the coolest. It's definitely not perfect, but also, it's like, why you're even allowed to espouse these ideas, because for thousands of years, you probably would have just been stoned to death for even having them. So we need to appreciate how far we've come, I think.
I read the craziest thing the other day, and it shocked me, as I consider myself a fairly intelligent and educated person. I didn't know that Black women didn't have the right to vote until the 60s.
Totally a thing. And then also, like, interracial marriages, when did that become legal? It was
like 70s.
Eerily late. Yeah. And you're just ridiculous. Like, and people act so outraged these days over, you know, the fucking pronoun thing. Don't even get me started. And it's like, do you realize that, like, it was just a couple decades ago where she couldn't vote and they couldn't get married, and like these big, huge things. I don't know. This is also a huge thing. No, gender fluidity is crazy, narcissistic bullshit. I fucking said it.
You know what?
It's narcissistic. Probably, it hurts my soul.
That's probably exactly what they said about a Black woman.
No. Really? No. Because it's completely different, and I'm glad you asked. So here's the difference, right? Yeah. Let's say an interracial couple wants to get married and they can't. That's society dictating how they live their lives. If you demand that I call you they, all of a sudden you are the dictator and I am the victim in your dictatorship, and the world is now revolving around you. So it's completely swung the pendulum in the other direction. And that's what I don't like about it. I'm very much live and let live. And you're not letting other people live when you're making them a compelling speech. It's absolutely disgusting to me, because freedom of speech is something that I hold very near and dear to my heart. And I use language all the time that pisses people off. I use the C word all the time. People don't like that. The
Can fucking you not social... say cunt?
Yeah, I don't know. I say cunt. I say nigger. Like, I'm not like that fucking nigger. But when I'm quoting someone who used the N-word, I don't say N-word. I say, you know, that. And then he called him a nigger. It was gnarly.
God, so it's that not... was me that you even say that. I hate that.
It's white guilt, man. I don't know.
Why do you think I'm white? What the fuck?
I don't know why else it would hurt you that I can say a word. Like,
because it's like when Kike came back into social consciousness.
Well, no, like, I'm not using it with any sort of malice or, you know, I'm using it like literally in quotes to tell a story of what somebody else said. So it's not a word that is in my vernacular. But it's not a word that I'm scared of passing through my lips either. There is no word that I am scared to say. You know, it's like a Voldemort thing. Like, no, I'm not scared of a word.
Say Candyman 3 times in the mirror, bitch.
What? I'll do it. I'm not even scared.
Don't,
watch
don't
me.
Do don't.
She said, yes. Please don't. Words. I love words deeply. And this is another huge problem that I have with specifically the they, them thing, because, okay, here's a weird thing. My mom was talking about this in the fucking 90s. And I was like, Mom, you're crazy. And she was like, in the future, she was like, right now, the oligarchs are in the process of masculinizing women and feminizing men. And in the future, people won't want to be called he or her or she or him. They'll want to be called they and them because they will have lost touch with their gender identity. In 1999, this sounds insane. I'm like, Mom, you're fucking nuts. Nobody's ever going to want to be called they and them. She's like, it's part of the oligarch agenda to strip people of their humanity and their identity. And holy shit, I wish she was alive right now because it really didn't come to fruition until after her death. Yeah.
I just feel like I would have fucking loved your mom.
She's so cool. Much.
Like, ridiculously. Wicked cool.
God. So this is another part of the whole gender pronoun thing, right? I'm like, you guys don't even realize that you're just pawns of the oligarch and you're there on a soapbox spreading somebody else's message and agenda that actually the whole point of is to dehumanize you.
Well, but so here's the other, so here's where I look at it from. So you look at like people being stripped of their gender as that, and I look at Black people being stripped of who they are and wanting to fight against that as well.
I'm not calling Black people the N-word. I'm not calling anyone.
No. Listen to where I'm going. So I had a grandfather who was Black, right? Died like way long ago, but tried to burn his color off.
Oh my God.
Okay. So I have always seen things like very similar to that, like trying to get outside of your skin, outside of your body, like it's something you can't deal with and and that you don't want to deal with because there is some sort of inherent guilt just about who you are and how you were born, who none of us had control of over any. I mean, well, technically now you can have control of what your children are and stuff, but you know what I mean.
Okay, so here's the thing. I see you and I raise you one because I understand that all from a feeling place. When I'm paraphrasing the word nigger, I'm talking about family members telling me that I'm infected with nigger blood. So I'm actually the victim of the whole thing. But it's okay. They're fucking... ignorant. Okay. It's painful. And that's the kind of person who uses that language and is trying to hurt someone with it, right? So it's not an admirable person. It's not like I'm in cahoots with them.
Christ. Okay, I have to pee so bad. Can you pause anchor?
Do that.
Just hold on.
Okay. I can cut this out later.
I'll be right back.
You're fine.